Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 2nd of November, recording at 5 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time, earlier than I usually record, but I do have a function this evening. And Owen, of course, is on his way to London for the chart seminar on Thursday and Friday of this week. Okay, let's first have a quick look at the highlights here today, because there's been plenty that's going on. The Asian stock markets were quite firm generally. There were exceptions, so Japan was down and Australia was down. The China block was strongest overall. The European stock markets opened with some reasonable gains. Then moved to the minus side, but then closed out with reasonable gains for the most part with the help of Wall Street. And the German DAX index, for instance, was up 2.25%. Now, on Wall Street, we had economic reports suggested that the economy is doing a little better than many people had been forecasting. More than a month ago, and that led to a rally which pushed the Dow up a couple of hundred points at one stage. It's off the highs, but we're still showing a reasonably good gain, with the three main indices all up over 1%, and the S&P currently up 1.41%. Elsewhere in the Americas, Mexico and Brazil are a little bit weaker. Long-dated government bond prices have eased against the background of today's stock market rally. The gold price is generally firm, following that good turnaround that we saw yesterday. Remember, it had fallen down to close to 1680 and then rebounded strongly. It's currently up $11 as I speak to nearly 1731. And platinum, palladium, and silver all higher. Silver currently up $1.36. The industrial metals are mostly higher, with copper showing a gain of 6 cents as I speak. In currencies, the U.S. dollar index has seed a little bit. It was weaker, but it's off its lows. And the Australian, well, it's unchanged. I was saying the Australian U.S. dollar. In other activity, we have the euro up slightly, 137.38, sterling 159.5. Crude oil a little bit firmer, Brent's back over the $110 level, NYMEX at 92.55. The grain and bean complex is a little bit easier here today. Okay. So what's going on overall? Well, obviously, all eyes are still focused on the drama that's unfolding in Europe. And clearly from the two-day sell-off that we saw, the continued rise or renewed rise of bond yields for Italy spooked the market. And concern over whether the Berlusconi cabinet would be able to pass the measures that had been demanded by Angela Merkel and Nicolas Sarkozy was a factor. Berlusconi has called a cabinet meeting and will push that to a vote, but his position is somewhat perilous, to put it mildly. So is Papandreou in Greece, while people were, I think, astonished that he actually called a referendum, as I mentioned last night, that showed that there was some Well, that he was under considerable pressure with defections within his cabinet, but at any rate, they appear to have backed him on the referendum, which he says will endorse Greece's willingness to stay in the European Union. Apologies if you know all this, but I'm sure not everyone does. And Merkel and Sarkozy had told Papandreas last night, I believe, that there is no chance of a renegotiation of the terms, whatever happened in, regarding a Greek referendum. So that's pretty much the story. It's calmed nerves a little bit, but not all that much. But again, we've got modest gains in here today. In stock markets, we have a short-term overbought condition. My hunch is that we'll see some more backing and filling, a consolidation of the recent gains. Markets could drift a little bit lower while that takes place. But thereafter, I'll be surprised if we don't see some further gains. This is a period when seasonal strength is often seen. And while we do have a short-term overbought condition, as I just mentioned, the very strong gains that we saw last month were clearly due to more than just short covering or even the high-frequency trading. And that type of persistent strength is generally worth taking at face value. It looked like much more than just a bear market rally, in other words. And then in terms of the overall background, we have the positive monetary environment, which really should remain a headwind. And I think that will be the case more often than not. And we also have signs that Asian countries are one by one moving away from their more restrictive monetary policies. We've seen some interest rate cuts recently. We've got China talking about the probability that its monetary tightening is nearing an end. Owen's written an interesting piece on that. I'm here today in response to an email. So I think it'll take longer before India changes its monetary policy, having just raised rates again last week for the 13th time, taking them up to 8.5%. But I think overall that we're seeing a cessation of the monetary tightening for most of these countries. India is the last to raise, as I just mentioned, but the Reserve Bank of India also mentioned that they felt that the chances of them raising rates again in December were not that high. And they're also forecasting their inflation rate, which is currently reported at 9%, to fall back to 7% by the end of March next year. So that would again suggest that monetary tightening in India is coming to an end. So that leaves us with an environment where the U.S. economy is doing a little bit better than expected, where talk of a hard landing in China is probably wide of the mark. China anticipated its need for tighter monetary policy, and so I don't see why it can't anticipate its need for some monetary easing. And I think the stock market is just beginning to reflect that view. That will leave us with Europe as the focal point of concerns generally. And that will retain the capacity to surprise or disappoint, no doubt, for a few more months. But my overall take of this situation is that Europe is slowly getting its act together, and that this situation will most likely lose its capacity to shock in coming weeks and months. But for tangible evidence of that, we would need to see the yields on Italian long-dated government bonds in particular come down somewhat. We would need, obviously, to see the spreads between the benchmark, which is really the German bunds, and the other interest rates to stop widening and to see that actually narrow in a little bit. And we could do without any further shocks to the system. Will we get that? Well, we probably won't get all of it, but I suspect we'll get some of it, and that will improve sentiment a bit generally. Now, precious metals look as if the support building process that I've been talking about is continuing. Gold is steady above that, or it's nudged above today, that 17,000 level, where there's a little bit of lateral trading. It appears, again, as I say, to be building support in this region above its rising 200-day moving average. And seasonally, this is a period when gold often does well, and I would not be all that surprised to see it move higher over the next few months as well. Other commodities, crude oil, I think there's a case for seeing somewhat easier crude oil prices, partly as Libyan production edges higher over the next few months, and partly because of the slow GDP growth figures that we see generally. And that's crucial, certainly, in terms of global growth going forward. Nothing has blighted global growth more than spikes in the oil price. I think we have a very good chance of avoiding another spike in the oil price anytime soon. That would require some sort of major shock to production capability, which is not something that we can foresee on, or that I foresee on economic grounds at any rate. So all in all, my own feeling is that the outlook is a little better than markets sometimes reflect, and that investor nervousness has often reflected. And it'll be interesting. Hopefully not too interesting. Meanwhile, I say that with a twinkle in the eye. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.